our work.
Last Wednesday we were looking at this character David in the scriptures, and we saw how, if you recall back and remember back, we saw how he had been overlooked by his father. His father left him in the fields looking after the sheep while they were throwing a big feast. And the prophet Samuel was instructed at this feast to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king. And David was left in the field. He was forgotten by his family, his father. He wasn't even invited into the feast. And then, you know, when all the boys paraded before Samuel, and God had said to Samuel that he would show him the man who was going to be king. And we read in the scriptures how Samuel looked at the eldest. He looked at the one who looked good. He looked the part, strong, tall, a great man, and a perfect candidate for king. But he wasn't God's choice. And he went through all of the boys except for David. And then he finally came to that. So he asked Jesse, he says, is there any more? Have you got any more sons? Is there anyone that we've forgotten, we've overlooked? And he said, yeah, there's David. He's in the field. But, you know, he's just the boy. You know, he's just the shepherd. So Samuel says, call him in. And they called him in. And then God spoke to them and said, this is the man that you're to anoint king. And we saw that in all that, David never complained. He never sort of said, well, it's not fair, you know, I'm always left out of the things, I'm left in the field, there's none of this complaint. This man was, or this boy, as he was, this young man, a humble young man. And my belief is that through those young years when he was looking after the sheep, that God revealed to him many revelations, which we have some of them penned in the Psalms. And we touched on Psalm 23 just as an example, you know, where he says in that psalm, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. This was all coming from David's experience. You know, he used to lead his sheep to the place of still waters. He would take his sheep to the place of green pastures. He knew what it was to find that refreshing for his sheep. You know, he was that kind of shepherd. He was a good shepherd. But he could say of the Lord, he said, my Lord, he says, he is my shepherd. He's going to lead me like I lead my sheep. He's going to restore my soul. You know, David would have cared for the sheep if they'd had a bump or a scratch. He would have nursed that sheep. He would have looked after it. You know, you have those images, particularly in the New Testament parable where Jesus taught about the man who went to look for the lost sheep. That you have all these images of, you know, this shepherd carrying the sheep on his shoulders. And, you know, David would have been like that. But then we learn something else of David, that during those years shepherding his sheep, he became a warrior, but not so much a man of war, but he knew what it was to fight off the lion, fight off the bear that came to attack the flock. And on one occasion, we're going to go to that chapter in a moment, but on the occasion, he's talking with King Saul, and he says to Saul, I've proved my worth. I fought off the lion. I fought off the bear. You know, when it came to attack the flock, I grabbed the bear by its beard and struck it and killed it. Would you grab the bear by its chin, the hair of its chin? And no?
No.
You're not that brave. But David was a boy. He was only a young man, a young boy. But he caught this bear. He caught the lion. He killed it. He protected the sheep. So he learned how to fight. And once he was anointed king, what did he do? Well, I'll tell you what he did. He went back to looking after the sheep. Now, there came a time, not long after, when King Saul... Now, we know that the Spirit of God has already left King Saul. He is no longer God's choice for governing the nation. David is the choice. David has already been anointed as king, but he hasn't got the position. Saul is still king. And, you know, the Spirit of God had left him, and he started to become troubled. Now, the scripture identifies his problem, it says, as a distressing spirit. This spirit came upon him, which caused him to become distressed and anxious, maybe depressed. And he inquires if anybody in the kingdom is able to play a harp or music very well. And one of the servants of Saul says this. So if you, let's just look at verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're just going to read verses 18 and 19. Verses 1 Samuel 16, verse 18 and 19. This is really just a little bit of a recap on what we looked at last Wednesday, as we just build the foundation for tonight's study. So 1 Samuel 16 verse 18 says this: Then one of the servants answered and said, now he's talking to the king, because the king has asked if there's anybody that can play. Says, one of the servants answered and said, look, he says, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor. That means he was brave. Well, he had to be to face the bear and the lion. A man of war. A man who's prudent in speech. And a handsome person. Yeah, David had it all. It says here, and I like this statement at the end of the verse, it says, and the Lord is with him. The blessing of God was upon this young man. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said to him, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So Saul requests David to go to the palace and play for him. And as you read on in that chapter, as David played, this distressing spirit lifted from Saul. Now, David didn't stay permanently in the palace. He used to go home from time to time. He used to go back to the sheep. He used to go back to his father. But in all this time, even though he had a place in the palace, he was playing for the king. We see that David remained humble. He didn't raise himself to any position. Don't forget, he had been anointed to be king. He could have pushed and pushed. And he could have sought a way to, as we would say, to worm his way in to a place of authority and position. But he doesn't do that. He goes back to his father. He goes back to serving and looking after the sheep. He's waiting for God's timing, for God to elevate him, for God to raise him up. Now, the time between the anointing of David as king, as a boy, and the time when he actually became king and he wore the crown was quite a few years. And we see a little bit David's character through that waiting period, through those waiting years. And we don't read in the scriptures that he ever tried to take the position of king by force. He never assumed that it was his right, if That's the right word to use. He just waited on the Lord to lead him and guide him. Now, we're going to look at some occasions in David's life between the anointing of king by Samuel, the anointing to be king by Samuel, and the time when he actually became king and put on the crown on his head. So let's go first to the next chapter, chapter 17. This is a very well-known chapter, and I'm sure we don't have to take the time tonight to read it. Actually, it's quite a long chapter, so we're not going to take the time tonight to read it. We're just going to dip into a few verses. But this chapter tells of a battle between the Philistines and Israel. Now, those of you that know, the Philistines were one of the armies of Israel. They still are. And you know that the Philistine stronghold was what we now know as is the Gaza Strip. That was their stronghold. And this chapter tells of a battle between this group of people and the people of God. Now, in verse 13, we read these. The three oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The name of his three sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, then Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. These three men. So David's older brothers had gone to battle. They'd gone off to fight the Philistines. David is back at home looking after the sheep. Because it says in verse 15, it says David occasionally went and returned from Saul. So he went to visit Saul and he returned home from ministering to Saul. And he went home to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And while David is at home, on one occasion, his father Jesse, and we read this in verse 17, speaks to his son David. He says, David, I want you to go and take some supplies down to your brothers. He says here, take now for your brothers an ephah of dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand, and see how your brothers fare. Find out how they're doing. Find out how they are. And he says, and bring back some news. Bring back, just come back and tell me, you know, how they're doing. Make sure that, we only read of Jesse at this point. I can't recall. I'll have to look it up, whether the mothers are around. But, you know what, any mum's like this, just send a message. You know, go and find it. Are you eating okay? Are you having enough food? Are you doing this? Are you making sure you're okay? You're having a wash. You're taking a bath. You're having a shower. That's how mums are. They check on the welfare of their children. And Jesse was like this. He wanted to find out about the three boys. Make sure they were okay. Make sure Saul was treating them okay. They were getting enough to eat. And he sends some food supplies down to them as well. So David is obedient to his father. He goes down to meet his brothers. And when David gets to the battlefield, and he speaks to his brothers, as he arrives, we have this giant Philistine. The Bible names him as Goliath. And he is shouting and taunting the armies of Israel. He's presenting himself. He's saying, come and fight. And he's saying, basically what he's saying, he says, come on. He says, come and have a go. And the one who wins, they'll be victor. If I win, you'll be our slaves. But if you win, and he said it almost by way of a joke, because there was no way in the natural that the Israelite army were going to win this battle. You know, this was a man who stood about 9-10 feet tall. He was very broad. He'd been a fighting machine since he was a young boy. And he's taunting the army of Israel. He's threatening them, and he's verbally defying them, and not just them, but God as well. And David hears these taunts. And if we read in verse 22, would we have those? David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper. He ran to the army. He greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion. See, the Bible even calls him the champion. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words that he'd spoken earlier in the chapter, which you can read in verse 8. But he spoke according to the same words, and David heard these words. He heard them. David hears what is being said. And so David makes some inquiries. He says, okay, he asks his brothers, he says, what's going to happen to the man who kills this giant? Now, some plan had been put into operation because Saul had said, the man who can kill this giant and give us the victory, he will be free from paying tax, him and his family. He will have the king's daughter as wife. And there were some benefits that went with killing this man. And David goes along to the captain of the army and he asks the same question. You know, what's going to happen to the man who kills this giant? And he gets told the same thing. And news gets to the king that there's a young boy in the camp asking questions about what's going to happen to the man who kills him. And so in verse 31, it says, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul. And he, that's Saul, he sent for David. He sent for him. Then, just remember, this is a young boy, perhaps maybe a couple of years older now, but is still a young man. He's talking with the king. Now, the king and him already have a sort of a relationship, because he plays for him. But it suggests to me that the king didn't really know David. He was just a means just play so that this spirit left him. So David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, talking about the giant. He says, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul turns to David and he looks at him. And he says to him, he says, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. He says, you're just a boy. You're just a youth. And this man, this giant, he's been a man of war since or from his youth. And then David tells the story. He says, Saul, he says, I don't know how he addressed it, whether he addressed him as your highness or... He begins to tell, he says, your servant used to keep the sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, the lion or bear took a lamb from the flock. He says, I went out after it. I chased this bear down. I chased this lion down. I struck it. I delivered the lamb from its mouth. And then when it arose and turned on me, I caught it by its beard, and I struck and killed it. So here's a boy who's not afraid of a lion, he's not afraid of a bear, he's chased them down to deliver the lamb that they've taken from the flock. Then when the bear or the lion turns to attack him, he catches it by its beard and kills it. And he says to Saul, he says this in verse 36, he says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be just like one of them. Because, not because there was anything special in David. David didn't say it's because I'm the man. There's no pride in David's speech here. He's not saying, I'm the man, I'm the one. It was me that run the lion down. It was me that chased the bear. It was me that delivered the... He said, yes, he says, I did it. But he's giving all the honor and praise here to God. He's saying, look, he says, and because this Philistine has defied the armies of the living God, he says, he will be just like the lion and just like the bear. Why? Because I'm not fighting the battle. No, this is what's going on in his heart. He says, I'm not fighting the battle. It's God that's fighting the battle. Now, I'm just the vessel. He knew his place. He humbled himself under God. He says, the Lord who delivered me, verse 37, from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul had no option here other than say, okay then, as it happened, this young boy David, he was the only one out of the whole of the armies of Israel that dared stand up and say, I'll go. Now, this caused some friction between his brothers. Why? Because his brothers realized that they knew that they should have gone. They should have done something. But here Saul says to him, okay, go. He says, God be with you. And then Saul puts David into his armor. Verse 38, we read this. He clothes him in his armor. He puts the bronze helmet on his head. He clothes him with the coat of mail. And David fastened the sword onto the armor. And he tried to walk and he couldn't move his feet one in front of the other. He couldn't stumble out of the king's presence. He couldn't even move his feet. This thing weighed so, it was so heavy, he was so confined in it. He didn't know how to move his arms, his legs, his whole being. And he says to Saul, again we're reading in verse 39, he says, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. He took in his hand his staff. It's what he used to catch the sheep or to keep the sheep in line. And if they were going to go near the edge of the mountain pass or wherever it was, he'd hook them back in. So he took his staff with him, his shepherd's staff. He left the presence of the king. He went down to the little river, the little brook. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones, the Bible says. And he put those into his little shepherd's pouch, his little bag. He took his sling in his hand, which he used to fight, you know, to warn off any attack on the sheep. He took that in his hand and he went out to meet this giant. Now, what do we learn from that? Here, now we know the end of the story, how God delivered him. He took just one stone in the sling and he put it in, he let it go. It flew through the air. It hit Goliath deep in the temple of his head. Knocked him out. David ran up to him, took Goliath's sword out of his sheath, then chopped off his head. Picked up his head, and went back into the camp. Now, David didn't do any of this to get noticed. It wasn't said, hey, I'll go back with this head, I'm sure going to be king tomorrow. No. Because what did he do after he killed Goliath? I'll tell you what he did. He went back to the sheep. He went home. Now, he spent time in the palace again. But the Lord gave him this great victory. He was promised Saul's daughter. And he later, in his life, he got her as his wife. No doubt, I'm sure Saul honored his promise that his father would be exempt from taxes. But he had this opportunity to get himself noticed, to raise himself up, to remind Saul at every opportunity, hey, do you remember the Philistine? He didn't do any of that. He didn't raise himself, he didn't elevate himself, he just remained humble. Even his own brother thinks the whole purpose of him going down to the battlefield was so that he could make a name for himself. I think it's in verse 28, somewhere like that. 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. Now he heard David speaking to the men, what's going to happen to the man who kills this? And this giant. And his anger was aroused against him. He said, why have you come down here? He says, who's looking after those sheep? You know, you've neglected the sheep and you're coming down here just to make a name for yourself. Now he's leveling all types of accusations at David here. He says, and look what he says. I know your pride. Now there wasn't, a proud bone in David's body in that sense. He wasn't doing anything out of pride. He'd gone to the battle because he was obedient to his father. He was submitting to his father's request. He didn't leave the sheep. His father asked him to go. So his father would have made arrangements for the sheep to be looked after. He was just making a general inquiry about the Philistine because he heard the Philistine taunting them, defying, basically saying that who's the God that's going to deliver you? You know, there's no one that's able to be, not even the God in heaven will be able to defeat me. That's basically what he was saying. And because David was a man who was in touch with God, a man who'd spent time in the presence of God, something was stirring inside him, the Spirit of God was stirring inside, faith was rising in him, and he said, I've got a covenant with God, I'm a man of covenant, we are the people of God, God has promised that he will fight our battles for us. This is a Philistine, he doesn't have covenant with God, so there's no competition. And that's where David is coming from. So he's not proud, there's no pride in him, he's not insolent in his heart, he hasn't just come down to see the battle, he's on a task that, yes, his father said, but ultimately God has sent him, has brought him to this place, because God has a purpose for him and a mission for him, and there's a task that he needs to accomplish, because he is the only man in Israel that God sees, he is the man. He's the only one. Remember, we've seen it before in Noah. He was the man, the only one in the land that would be obedient to God and build the ark. David was the only one that was obedient and was prepared to go through with what God asked him to do. So everything he's doing is out of his love, out of his humility for God, his submission to God. Why did Eliab say this? Why did he think David was too proud? He's too proud to look after the sheep, maybe. Why have you deserted the sheep? Why have you left the sheep? Is it too low for you? Is it not a worthy enough job? Maybe Eliab thought that, we know this because this is what the scripture says, that he's only there to get himself into the army, to make a name for himself, to secure a position in the army of Israel. He was seeking out his own vanity. Everything he was doing, this is what Eliab thought, he was just doing everything for his own gain, so that he could, as we would say, he would feather his nest, you know, make it nice. But Eliab knows very little of his brother's character. In actual fact, as we see in the life of David, when we compare what Eliab says to the life of David, we see he's actually so far from the truth. I would suggest to you, and again, this is my opinion, so take it or leave it. I would say, actually, Eliab is actually looking at himself and comparing David to himself, actually keeping sheeps too low for him. He's only in the battle to make a name for himself, but he's actually too scared to face the giant. And he's looking after his own self, where he wants to be. Now, the truth is that David was humble. Yes, he had been anointed king. He did have a position in the royal house. But when he returned home, he went back to the sheep. It wasn't too low for him. That's what he was supposed to do. That's what he was called to do. And David, his proposal to Saul wasn't so that, it wasn't out of any impure motive that he had. It wasn't to make a name for himself. It was actually for the glory of God. And not only for the glory of God, but for the honor of the whole of the Israel, of the whole of Israel, the people. Who, and both of them, God and the people of Israel, were being reproached by the Philistines. So, what's this? Look at how he conducts himself in front of Saul. I'm not going to reread it, but between verses 32 and 39, we've gone through them. But one, David knows this. David knows that God has chosen him to be king. But does he ever say that to Saul? No. He doesn't say, "Don't worry, Saul. Everything's going to be okay because I'm going to be king." No, never. He does tell Saul how God delivered him from the bear and the lion. And he confirms his faith in God that God will deliver him also. He's vocal in his belief of God and his faith in God. He talks about his covenant with God. And the fact that the Philistines didn't have a covenant. And he tells Saul that the giant isn't just challenging the army, he's actually coming against God himself. And you know what? That was Goliath's biggest downfall. You know, it wasn't really the stone that knocked Goliath out. It was that statement that not even God himself will be able to knock me out. That was his mistake. Pride. Building himself up. I'm the greatest. And in all this, we see David doesn't build himself up. He humbles himself. He submits to God. He exalts God. He gives God all the glory and all the credit. And God gives David the victory. I want you to look at, come into the next chapter with me, chapter 18. Goliath the champion has just been killed. And verse 5 of chapter 18. 1 Samuel 18, verse 5. says, so David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved foolishly. No. He behaved in a prideful spirit. He's made it. I'm now at the king's command. No. He behaved wisely. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. Wherever Saul sent him, David went, and he behaved wisely. Wisely.
Yes, wisely.
Not out of pride. Saul sets him, look what it goes on to say. It says Saul set him over the men of war. Saul put him in charge of his warring men, his champions. And David was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Why? Because he humbled himself, God is beginning to raise this boy up. He's beginning to elevate him. He's bringing him slowly. It's not an overnight. It's slowly he's bringing him to the position where he's going to become king. He's building on his character. He's behaving wisely. And it says here in verse 6, it says, it happened one day when they were coming home from the battle, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul. And they came with tambourines, they were full of joy, they had musical instruments, they were rejoicing, they were singing. And it says in verse 7, the women sang this song as they danced. And their song was this, that Saul has slain his thousands. They acknowledged that Saul was a great king. He was a warrior king. He's killed thousands. But he said, but David, tens of thousands. And this upset Saul. This displeased Saul. But God is beginning to raise this man up. And again, later on in the chapter, in verse 14, don't forget, David is growing. It says, in verse 14 it says, and David behaved wisely in all his ways. David behaved wisely in all his ways. And the Lord was with him. It says, verse 15, it says, therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. See, when you humble yourself under God, and you submit yourself to God, you're behaving wisely. The people that are against God become a little fearful. Why? Because they know that God is blessing. God is raising you up. God is with you. Whatever you do, God blesses. Whatever David did, when he was in charge of the armies, in charge of the captains of the men of war, the blessing of God was on him, working in his life, prospering him, like it did for Joseph way back in Egypt. You know, the blessing of God, and he prospered in all things. And the same was happening to David. He was finding favor with all the people. Favor with Saul's servants. Favor in the royal house. The only person that wasn't in favor with him was Saul. Now, I've got to be quick. Because I just want to wrap up with this. David had a few other opportunities in his life to get to that place where he could push himself forward to be king. But he didn't take them. Come with me to, now we're going to chapter 24. Still in 1 Samuel, chapter 24. In the years before David became king, there were many opportunities for him to
actually advance and elevate himself. But as we've seen, and we read just a minute ago, David behaved wisely in all his ways. Everything he did was because he was humble to God. He submitted himself to God. He listened to what God had to say to him. In actual fact, we're not going to do it tonight, but it's a good study just to go through Samuel, first and second, and see how many times it says in the scriptures that David inquired of the Lord. He asked God. He didn't assume that God was going to do something. He went, he took time to seek God. What do you want me to do, Lord? How do you want me to do it? Do you want me to go here? Do you want me to go there? Do you want me to overtake my enemies? If I overtake them, are you going to deliver them into my hand? He never assumed anything. He did everything at the direction of God. So, he's behaving wisely. So he has many occasions to elevate himself, but he doesn't take them. David is hated by Saul. Saul wants to kill him. And Saul has a few occasions as well where he actually throws a spear at him and misses him. And he's hunting David like a dog and a rabbit. He's hunting David down. David is on the run. He's escaped from Saul's presence. He's left the palace. He's like a fugitive in the land. And Saul is hunting him. Now, in chapter 24, we see that David is hiding himself in a cave in the wilderness of En-Gedi. It says in verse 1, it says, "It happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines." Now, they're still fighting the Philistines. Something's gone wrong. Saul should have, he's got victory over the Philistines when David slew Goliath. But there's something, they haven't dealt with the Philistines, they're still coming up against him. So it says, when Saul returned from the Philistines, it was told him, saying, look, he said, somebody told him, David's down in the wilderness at En-Gedi. You better go down there if you want to get it. So Saul moves his armies down to where they say David is. It happens to all of us. They're on the journey. Saul needs to take a break. He needs to refresh himself. He needs to, not to be crude, but he needs to go to the toilet. He just needs to refresh himself. And so he pops into this cave, thinking he's not going to be seen. So he stops in the cave, he does whatever he needs to do. But he doesn't know that this is the cave that David is hiding in. And while Saul is doing whatever he has to do, David creeps up behind him, and with his knife, with his knife, he cuts a piece of the robe of King Saul, the corner. And Saul gets up, he's finished, he's completely, he has got no idea what has happened. And he goes out of the cave, and as soon as he goes out of the cave, we read here in this chapter that David ran out after him. Now don't forget, David is being hunted. And he calls out, he says, sir, let's find out where he goes. Verse 8, David also arose afterward. Now, I must say this, the servants that are with David want to kill Saul, and David said, no, don't do it, don't do it, don't touch the Lord's anointed, don't touch the man that God has anointed to be king. And it says in verse 8, it says, David arose afterward, he went out of the cave, and he called out to Saul. And he says, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David bows with his face to the earth in that reverence toward his king. And he says to Saul, why are you listening to these men that keep telling you, I'm trying to hurt you, I'm trying to harm you? He says, look,
You came in today, you came into the cave. I've got the corner of your robe here, and he's waving it in front of Saul. He says, I could have killed you. My servants could have killed you. But we're doing what God wants us to do. We will not touch the Lord's anointed. He says, I have no evil intention towards you. And he humbles himself again under God. Now, he could have killed him. And if he'd killed it, what would have happened if David had killed Saul? Who was going to be king?
David.
So he could have, it was an opportunity. He could, okay, this is my opportunity to get rid of Saul and I'll become king. But no, that's not his intention. He humbles himself and he writes himself, David writes himself in the Psalms. In Psalm 105, David writes that the Lord issues this decree that do not touch the Lord's anointed. Do his prophets no harm. And David lives up to that. Two chapters later, in chapter 26, and we will finish with this, another occasion arises. Saul is still hunting David. Saul hasn't learnt. He's still hunting him. And in chapter 26, again, these two chapters, 24 and 26, you'll need to read the whole chapter at home to get the context of this whole, for the sake of time, I'm skipping the reading of them. But here's another occasion. Saul is camped in a valley. He's looking for David. During the night, Saul is sleeping. His bodyguards are sleeping. And David and his men creep into the camp. And next to Saul's head, when Saul went to sleep, next to his head was a jug of water and his spear. And David, he takes the spear. Actually, his servant says, come on, David, let me do it. And he wants to put the spear through Saul. And David says, no, don't touch the Lord's anointed. But David takes the spear, he takes the jug of water, and he creeps out of the camp.
Number 11.
We're in, verse 11. He takes the spear, and he goes out of the camp, he goes to the opposite side of the valley, and then he calls out to Abner, who was the chief bodyguard. And he says, Abner, he says, you've sinned today. Abner, you've fallen short. You did not protect the Lord your king. And Abner says, what do you mean? He says, I have here in my hand the king's spear, which was by his head. I have here the jug of water, which was by next to the king. He says, you did not protect the king. I could have killed the king. Now, that's my paraphrase of what he was saying. But David told everything. What did he do? He's humbling himself before. He's not taking advantage of these situations that arise. He's not presuming to kill the king. He's not going for the position that he has been anointed to be king. He knows he's going to be king one day, but he's not doing anything to get it himself. Now, the time eventually came when Saul did die. He died in battle. And we're not going to go there tonight, but if you turn over it, if you go into 2 Samuel, the beginning of 2, you'll see that a messenger comes to David and says, David, Saul's dead. And David asks the question, who killed him? He says, I did it. And you know what happened? David has him put to death. He's not looking for any man to further his, career? His position, David wants it's the Lord's timing. And it takes five chapters before he actually wears the crown. because it's not assuming that it's his right in that sense to put the crown on. The people make him king. So, yes, he humbles himself under God, and God raises him up. God willing, next time we're going to see something else in the life of David where he has to humble himself under God. Amen. 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 Amen.